seen before they reached the walls or stopped shortly thereafter. His might has made him complacent, girl. We should not fear to use that advantage.
Neve shook her head. This sounds all too easy, Wither. I fear that you've mistaken blind hope for good sense.
Don't forget we have had our spites scout the fortress several times, always veiled behind glamours, never disturbed or discovered, said Wither, sounding defensive. They have never seen any change in this pattern. The lack of foot patrols is not a sudden or strange occurrence. I am not a fool, girl, and I would not risk my clan upon a foolish hope.
Once we're in, what's the plan? Asked Neve. Assuming you're right, how do we find Ung-Hulgot, and how do we use the weapon against him?
You will find the Swamp King, said Wither. You will sense him.
I can only do that if Sigmar has given me a mark. Please don't tell me your plan hinged on that.
You give yourself too little credit.
Wither shook her head.
That ability stems from you, not your reforging. It has been in you since birth. It is why you were chosen. Reach out and see if it is not so.
Neve drew breath to correct Wither angrily and to ask how the branch witch presumed to know more about her abilities than she did herself. Then it struck her. She could feel something. It was different to the sensation of following a mark, less insistent, and she doubted that she could have felt it from as far away. But the feeling was there, all the same, glimmering in her senses, like a star just visible in the evening sky.
I know where he is, she said. You're right. I know how to reach my mark, even without Sigmar's guidance.
You always did, child. But why would you know this? You have always had a fresh mark from Sigmar, always had your own talents overwhelmed by those he forced upon you. Is it not so?
Neve shook her head. She had no answer to give. Sigmar had taken her up to the heavens and had made her mighty beyond mortal imaginings. Every hunt, every battle, every sacrifice since that time had been made in his name. To hear the gifts of the God King dismissed out of hand, as though they had not enhanced but in fact had hobbled her, left Neve strangely shaken.
If we find the sorcerer, we invoke the weapon there and then, said Wither. Otherwise, we forge a path to the heart of his fortress and unleash its power there. So shall we bring down all his works.
As you say, then, said Neve. We've come this far. If we want to cross the divide to the wall before the sun's light finds us, we'd best move now.
Give us a moment to work our spell. When it is safe to cross, I will tell you.
Neve took the chance to return to Catalia, who still sat astride Keto's saddle. There was a difficult conversation to be had. Are you ready for this? She asked.
We will fight at your side, said Catalia. The Swamp King's fortress is greater than I had imagined. I am glad we did not come here alone.
As am I, Cat, said Neve. But listen to me now. You promised you'd follow my commands as though I were your chieftain, yes?
I swore it,
said Catalia warily. You need to leave Keto here. We don't know what lies within that place, but you can bet we will have to pass through tight passages and confined spaces. He could get stuck or give away our presence.
I understand, said Catalia, swinging down from the saddle.
You won't try to fight me on this?
I swore, said Catalia, and I don't want Keto to be in danger. More danger than he will be out here, at any rate.
She turned to her steed and cradled his mandibles in her hands. Catalia leant her forehead against the smooth chitin of Keto's muzzle, and whispered words to him that Neve carefully tuned out. Whatever was said was private, between close friends. Keto's antennae gently brushed against Catalia's head, drifting over the nape of her neck. The Tatakan rattled softly and shifted his legs. Catalia stepped back, sniffed hard, and slapped Keto companionably on the muzzle.
"Go on then, Dulu. Get gone. You know how to find me when it's done."
Keto rattled again, swiped one last time at Cat's hair with his antennae, then turned and trampled back into the undergrowth.
"He will stay safe until we have killed the Swamp King," said Catalia.
"And you will stay by my side until the deed is done," said Neve, "no matter what happens. Understand? I still do not know what it is Wither plans to unleash in there, what this weapon of hers does. I want you close in case we have to react quickly." Catalia nodded, a serious frown on her face, and clashed one vambrace against the other.
"I swear it, Neve."
"It is time,"
announced Wither. The branch witch turned towards the rest of her clan where they lurked, large and small, jagged and flowing, amidst the trees. Ithari and her fellow branch wraiths stepped forward, six of them in total. Each bowed in a stylized fashion to their mistress before beginning a keening chant, its notes barely audible even to Neve's remarkable senses. As they chanted, they danced, weaving strange shapes and patterns with their limbs and footsteps. Gradually, blue motes gathered in the gloom beneath the canopy, whirling together in a way that Neve found uncomfortably familiar. Stepping forward, Wither swept her sickle stave through the swirling motes and hooked them as though she had somehow caught a mass of cloth upon her blade. Turning on her heel, she cast the mass of magical sparks into the air above the clan, where it flickered briefly, then vanished. At once, Neve felt the glamour settle about them. She could see no physical change, but she sensed the Sylvaneth magics at work.
"Now," hissed Wither, before stepping out into the shin-deep sludge of the swamp.
Neve gestured to Catalia and followed. One warband at a time, Clan Thirgail broke from the cover of the forest and waded out across the swamp as quickly as they could go. Neve forged along near their head, Catalia striving gamely at her heels. Neve felt the burning sense of watchfulness from above, the awful sensation of exposure. She glanced up at the ramparts, scanning them with a huntress's eye, noting every sentry and watchtower and marking their positions. Surely at any moment a cry would rise from the walls or the clangor of skaven bells would be heard. Yet there was no sound. Even as the clan neared the foot of the wall and seething masses of skaven became visible, scurrying to and fro amidst their burrows, still the Sylvaneth went unnoticed. Neve was impressed, and more than a little unsettled. Perhaps it was for the best that the Dreadwood clan were Sigmar's allies, even if their methods and outlook seemed a touch too malevolent for her tastes. She wouldn't want to face enemies that could veil themselves so. Wither gestured to a spot near the outlying structures of the Skaven burrows. Neve saw where the ratmen had incautiously driven iron girders directly into the wall in order to support one of their numerous towers. The resultant damage had caused a split in the flabby matter of the wall, a gangrenous rent 10 feet across and perhaps the same high, that dripped pus and blood and looked uncomfortably like a diseased wound. It vanished back into darkness, foul vapours drifting from it, slime dripping from its inner walls. Neve glanced back and saw the dismay on Catalia's face at the thought of entering such a noisome tunnel. She caught the girl's eye. Neve flashed her tribe's warding at her. Catalia returned it, seeming to steel herself. The Sylvaneth were clustering before the walls, massing in a way Neve could not believe was entirely wise. Someone needed to take the initiative, yet Wither still stood, staring up at the fortress, flanked by her tree lord guards. The branch witch looked at Neve, then swept her taloned hand towards the rent in a gesture that said, "After you." Neve took a slow, deep breath and unsheathed her axes. Then, without another backwards glance, she plunged into the fortress of Lord Anghulgot. Chapter 13. The interior of the fortress stank. It was rare that Neve regretted the full clarity of her Sigmar-given senses, but as the waves of sweat stench and fecal reek threatened to choke her, she had to admit that she resented Sigmar's gift. From a distance, Neve had assumed, or at least hoped, that the strangely biological look to Anghulgot's fortress was an affectation, or some artifact of chaotic mutation. Now she saw the truth was far worse. Slipping between flesh-wet walls, studded with seeping stonework and spars of interwoven iron and bone, Neve sensed not only the bountiful excess of life that flowed through this edifice, but also its madness, misery, and pain. "I feel like I'm crawling through something's guts," she murmured.
"Perhaps we are," whispered Catalia.
Wither had sent the surviving Kurnoth hunters in behind Neve, and their leader gave a low rumble of agreement.
"Foul magics are at work here," he said. "They have been for decades. They saturate this place. It makes my bark itch."
Neve's keen vision pierced the rank mists and revealed a wider space ahead.
"There's a corridor," she whispered,
craning her head to project her voice back down the tunnel.
"Hold here, Wither."
Dimly she saw the branch witch raise her sickle stave in acknowledgement. The Sylvaneth halted, jagged forms and cold blue eyes massed together in the close confines. The sinister aspect of her allies struck Neve forcibly, but she dismissed the thought. Even she couldn't conquer an entire fortress single-handedly, and in such circumstances even such grim allies as these were better than none. Still, she could not suppress a stab of longing for Tarion, and for all the Shadowhammers. She had dared hope that her comrades might have followed her trail and caught up to her by now. Neve would gladly have faced whatever consequences her desertion brought, if it had meant launching this attack side by side with the hammers of Sigmar. "Drink ditch water in a drought, though, eh?" she muttered to herself, and continued along the passageway. Neve stepped through the far end of the rent and over a spill of crumbled stone and rancid meat. She found herself in a wider corridor, fashioned from stone and boasting stalactites of what looked revoltingly like body fat dangling from its ceiling. They quivered and dripped, drooping to well below head height. Crimson-tinged light spilled from membranous growths that pushed through the stones of the ceiling, making the entire corridor look like it was daubed in gore. Neve swept her gaze left and right, feeling for moving air, vibrations in the stonework, or the slightest sight or sound of the foe. There was nothing, but her keen vision revealed to her that the corridor terminated in an organic-looking cave-in several hundred yards through the gloom. "Nothing," she said, but she didn't trust it for a moment. Their entrance felt too convenient, too easy by far. Neve's instincts were snarling at the sense of a trap closing around her.
"The foe are yet far afield, then?"
asked the lead hunter.
"Seems that way," said Neve.
"Suspicious that they would neither seal this opening nor guard it,"
rumbled the hunter.
"Stupid," said Catalia fiercely. "But then they worship the dark gods, so they're crazy."
"It's a vast fortress, and I get the sense the layout probably changes as it grows over time," said Neve. "These stalactites haven't formed quickly, and if anyone used this passageway on a regular basis, they'd have been disturbed." She pulled a face.
"You make a fair point,"
said the hunter. "But so do you. What's your name?"
Gyrthael, he replied.
So do you, Gyrthael, said Neve. I understand all that Withers said, and I hope that she's right about our enemy's complacency. But I'm a huntress, first and foremost, and I trust two things above all else, my instincts and my senses.
And what do they tell you, Neve Black Talon?
Asked Gyrthael. That this is too easy, said Neve. That there's something here we're not seeing, because we just snuck several hundred Sylvaneth warriors through the wall of our enemy's fortress, and haven't even met a lone sentry who tried to stop us. My senses tell me there's no enemies in the vicinity at all, which strikes me ill with the Skaven so close, and Unghulgot's hordes supposedly so vast. I wasn't sure until we made it this far unchallenged, but now it's got to be a trap.
If you are correct, then Unghulgot must know we are coming, said Gyrthael. Should we turn back, think you?
Neve shook her head slowly, eyes roving the corridor. If we retreat now, we tip the enemy off. If our head's already in the beast's maw, its jaws are like to snap shut. No, we press on. But we do so in readiness. The moment something looks awry, we strike fast and slay them before they slay us.
I will advise Wither,
said Gyrthael. Tell her we're pressing on, said Neve. I feel Unghulgot's presence more keenly now. This way. Neve stalked along the corridor with Catalia and the Kurnoth hunter close behind. The sensation of Unghulgot's presence was similar to the siren song she had always sensed at the nearness of a mark, but subtly different. It was as though a current of energy ran through her body, making the hairs rise on her arms. It was all she could do not to skin her teeth back from her lips like a snarling wolf. She sensed the rest of the Sylvaneth following. She could hear the tree lords complaining at the tight confines and exclaiming in disgust as they disturbed the stalactites. And she muttered to Gyrthael, asking him to quiet them lest they alert the foe to their presence. The route led where it led, and all her attention was turned towards watching for the trap she suspected lay ahead. Neve passed through a bone archway and into a huge chamber with a high ribbed ceiling. Iron vats lined its walls, the sounds of bubbling fluids carrying from within. Noxious fumes filled the air, and flies droned lazily through the murk. A heavy iron catwalk circled the entire chamber, near ceiling height. Neve glanced back to see Catalia ripping the hem from her furs and binding it around her mouth and nose. The tribes girl's eyes watered, but her expression was determined. Two exits led out of this chamber, one in the north wall and one in the east. Neve stopped, balancing on the balls of her feet, listening intently and stretching her senses to their limits. She heard heartbeats from somewhere ahead, the sound of carefully stifled breathing, the creak of movement as hidden foes tried and failed to remain truly silent. Neve whispered her findings to the Kurnoth. The message was passed back down the line, shuddering inaudibly through the spirit song. A response came back, relayed from Wither herself.
She says press forward, said Gyrthael quietly. Let the trap's jaws close upon poisoned bait.
Neve nodded to herself, then paced forward, motioning for the others to follow. At her back, the Sylvaneth began to filter into the huge chamber, staring with distaste at the gurgling pipes that crawled along the walls, and the strange instruments and dials that studded the vat's flanks. Neve shut out the sounds of the Sylvaneth at her back and the grotesque biological rumble of the fortress. She filtered out her heartbeat, the slow rise and fall of her breath, the creak and clink of her armor as she moved. She listened, intently, for sounds that no other would hear, patterns hidden amidst the jumble of background noise. There she found a slow ticking, a clicking similar to that of clockwork cogs. The sly sound was hidden within the walls, furtive but purposeful. as it ground towards some nefarious end. Neve tensed, eyes darting about the chamber, identifying and categorizing potential dangers within the space of a single heartbeat. Something was coming. The trap was poised to spring, but Neve would not play the role of unwitting prey. She had reached the chamber's heart, the majority of the Sylvaneth clan strung out behind her, when she heard the grinding cogs and gears within the walls suddenly accelerate. She knew what came next. She was ready for it. Neve launched herself across the chamber and slid on her back into the northern doorway. She was in time to catch a heavy iron portcullis as it rattled down from within the archway. The metal gave a resounding clang as it met the sigmarite of her gauntlets, and Neve screamed with the effort of halting the portcullis's fall. "This is it!" she yelled. "Help me get this open now!" Catalia and the hunters dashed towards Neve. Further back, Wither shrilled commands at her Sylvaneth to do likewise. Overhead, the walkway shuddered with a tumult of footfalls. From her position prone upon the floor, Neve could only guess at what foes were dashing in to take up position above the killing ground. Her muscles strained and her bones creaked as the huge weight of the portcullis threatened to crush her into the flagstones. She pushed up, gaining a little purchase, then cursed between her teeth as gears ground and the metal barrier pressed relentlessly down upon her. Any second, she knew, her arms would simply break beneath the phenomenal pressure, and the portcullis would crush her as it slammed into place. Then strong talons gripped the iron latticework, and the strength of the Kurnoth hunters was added to her own. Catalia grabbed the portcullis directly above where Neve lay, green fire shimmering along her vambraces as she strained with all her might. Neve heard gears groaning, metal grinding, and then shearing. There came a sudden clang, and the weight lifted as they forced the portcullis up again. Neve shot a grateful glance up at the Sylvaneth who had aided her, only to be splattered with blood sap as a barbed javelin exploded through the face of the hunter closest to her. The Kurnoth staggered, pawing weakly at the spear tip jutting from his eye socket, then slumped sideways with a groan.
"Above!"
screeched Wither. From the gantry came a rain of javelins and noxious projectiles, rotting heads stoppered with stitches and wax. The heads burst where they struck home, splattering bubbling filth across stonework and Sylvaneth bark flesh alike. Where the forest spirits were splashed, they sizzled and melted, and their cries of pain and fury rang out.
"They are throwing death heads," cried one of the branch wraiths. "Beware their filthsome spray."
Ithari and the other branch wraiths fought back as best they could. They chanted and writhed, conjuring blasts of jade energy and coiling masses of thorned creepers that lashed upwards to tear at the gantry. Neve heard cries of pain from above and saw figures fall to smash into the stone floor. They were cultists of some sort, human but swathed in dirty rags and aprons, their faces hidden by leather hoods and heavy goggles. Neve pulled her knees in tight and flipped herself onto her feet as she heard the clatter of fresh mechanisms at work. The eastern door had been sealed tight as its own portcullis slammed into place. The north doorway was their only way out.
"To tarry is to die," she bellowed. "They're going to vent the vats. Wither, get them moving. Follow me."
Grabbing Catalia by the arm, Neve lunged through the archway into the corridor beyond. She found herself dashing up a steep flight of bone steps, skull-carved lanterns flashing past on either side. Behind her, she heard a terrible groaning of metal hinges, then the thunderous roar of gallons upon gallons of fluids being released. Neve's blood ran cold as she heard fresh Sylvaneth cries rise shrill with agony. Cresting the stairs, Neve burst out onto the gantry that hung above the chamber. She slammed straight into one of the begoggled foe, who gaped for a split second before her axe swept his head from his neck. The man fell, neck stump jetting a snotty fluid that squirmed with white worms.
"Sigmar's hammer! These filthy creatures are rotten to their cores,"
yelled Neve angrily, kicking the swaying body in the chest and sending it toppling over the gantry rail. A quick glance over that barrier confirmed her suspicions. The enemy had indeed opened the sluices of the vats lining the chamber's walls, releasing a tide of diseased effluvia. She saw Sylvaneth corpses bobbing like driftwood amidst the rank juices, dissolving and deforming under their effects. Yet there were far fewer fallen than Neve had feared. She heard the footfalls of dozens upon dozens of Sylvaneth pouring up the steps behind her. At the same time, the masked servants of Nurgle spun at her, raising their rotwood javelins and hefting wax-stopped death heads.
"What now?"
asked Catalia, pressing close at Neve's shoulder. Neve pointed with one axe towards an archway that led off the gantry at the chamber's far end.
"Now we have to fight our way to that. Get ready, Cat. The real battle's just beginning."
Neve launched herself into a lightning-fast charge, and the blood of Nurgle's servants fell like rain. Lord Unghulgot marched between the flesh pens of the third full bastion. Pitiful cries rose on all sides from the flesh stalks. Hands clawed weakly through the iron bars, their skin thick with buboes and sores. Unghulgot's normal fascination with his cattle's suffering was eclipsed by his towering anger, which he vented upon the gaggle of champions and lieutenants who trailed behind him.
"How precisely did the specimens evade the trap?" he snarled. "Explain it again, as though I were as witless as you."
"My lord, it was the Stormcast,"
hissed Yerkling, his yellow eyes staring from beneath his rotting cowl.
"She threw herself beneath a portcullis and halted its fall."
"She is crushed, then, her inner workings fouled and her hide torn and spoiled,"
snarled Unghulgot.
"Wasteful and incompetent."
He stopped and turned at his underling's awkward silence.
"The subject endures?"
asked Unghulgot, raising one leprous brow.
"Lord, even now she is leading the surviving woodland savages along the upper galleries."
"Fascinating,"
said Unghulgot.
"And she is coming this way, then, yes?"
"We shall stop, halt her, O most munificent herald of unholy woes!"
chittered the plague priest, representing Unghulgot's clan Fesic allies. He still hadn't bothered to memorize the creature's name.
"You failed to stop her and her ragtag band of woodland shrubs from slinking unseen into my fortress,"
said Unghulgot, his voice thick with scorn.
"As I understand it, they walked right through a wound that your clumsy burrowing opened in the first place. And now you would have me place trust in the inferior mental processes and slinking fur-covered sacks of sinew that permitted this transgression in the first place?"
The plague priest quailed, flinging itself onto its face and waving its tail wildly back and forth.
"Trickery, grand and most gruesome one! Lies, plot schemes of those who would—"
"Oh, by Nurgle's feculent innards, I cannot listen to any more of this drivel!"
snarled Unghulgot, gesturing to Grungholox. The plague champion's huge cleaver fell, bisecting the plague priest in a messy spray. The two halves of the rat man flopped into his spilled innards, fluids squirting up to drench the wretches trapped in the pens on either side. Unghulgot took a calming breath. He closed his eyes and leant upon his staff, thinking quickly. Self-reproach stung him, for he saw now that he had been hugely arrogant. Familiarity with his old Sylvaneth foes had clearly bred contempt, and Unghulgot had sorely underestimated the Stormcast warrior that accompanied them. Who or what she was, he didn't know, but he was more interested than ever to slide her body into the bone threshers and pick her apart. First, though, she had to be stopped, and wither as well. He couldn't risk the possibility that the old woods crone actually was carrying something that could harm him. Unghulgot was close to unleashing his might upon the Jade Kingdoms, and he would not fail Nurgle by allowing his own ego to undo things now.
"Yerkling, muster the Poxmonger Guard and the Fly's sons, and lead them in through the undergalleries," he ordered. "You will be the gutting hook that drags the innards from our enemies' cavities. Grangholox, have the Alchemancers mass their labour gangs and hurl them into the invaders from all sides. Tell them that any and all weapons may be deployed to stop the attack. Then lead the Sevenfold Faithful up the ungodly stair and attack through the septic sluices. Catch them in their flank and pen them in the old laboratories. You shall be the flensing blade that pairs skin from bone."
Unghulgot's two warlords saluted and hastened away, leaving a gaggle of lesser seers, sorcerers and champions, standing awkwardly around the twitching remains of the plague priest.
"Don't just stand there, you thrice-damned idiots!"
roared Unghulgot.
"Rally your warbands and attack! Overwhelm the enemy! Unpick them like a stitched wound! And bring me the weapon and the stormcast specimen!"
He gestured to the dead Skaven.
"And for Grandfather Nurgle's sake, someone bring me a replacement for that."
"We'll need the subvermin in this fight too, useless though they are. They'll keep the enemy restrained long enough for us to open them up and pull them apart."
Unghulgot turned away from his underlings as they fled his presence. He completed his walk between the flesh pens and into the region of the fortress that he thought of affectionately as his zoo. He stood on a platform of iron and sinew and looked down upon the huge metal pens below. Huge things moved in the gloom, slamming themselves against the walls of their cages and roaring in multitudinous voices, both bestial and horribly human. Tentacular limbs lashed, fluid sprayed into the air, spittle and pus spattering the platform's edges. A ripe stench rose thick as smoke from a bonfire, animal sweat mingling with the sweet corruption of decay and the acrid tang of dark alchemy.
"It is time for you to show your strengths, my pets,"
said Unghulgot, moving his hand towards a bank of heavy brass levers nearby.
"I have rewoven your flesh into the mightiest of forms. Make the plague god proud."
Neve ducked as a massive axe whistled overhead. The blade slammed into the meat of the chamber's wall, and fetid fluid sprayed. She replied with a thunderous underhand swing, ripping her blade up through her enemy's helm and sending the Blight King tumbling backwards. Neve flipped back away from her enemy's corpse, lashing out and beheading two more foes as she sailed between them, before landing in a fighting crouch and assessing the fight. The Sylvaneth had fought their way through several chambers since Unghulgot's failed ambush, flowing along swaying iron gantries and butchering the plague worshippers that tried to stop them. Wither raged, her furious screeches soaring through the air above the fight as she directed her warriors against the foe. Two of her branch wraiths had been caught in the diseased deluge, along with dozens of the forest spirits they led. Now Wither seemed determined to exact a blood price for every last one. Her sickle stave swept in vicious arcs, lopping heads and limbs, opening chests and guts. Here and there, where a Sylvaneth fell slain, Wither would pause and gently remove the lamentary from her charges. She secreted the glowing soul seeds in a woven reed pouch, and Neve knew that the branch witch would plant them afresh in the clan's soul pod groves, should she survive the battle. That was by no means certain, however. The invaders were making steady progress, following Neve's unerring sense for her prey, but fresh waves of foes appeared by the moment. The battle was currently strung out, the Sylvaneth rearguard fighting a tide of chittering Skaven along the gantries of the previous chamber, while Neve led a spearhead push through a rotting meat chamber full of metal sluices and alchemical tanks. Their enemies were many and strange, from goat-like beastmen with matted fur and diseased hides, to apron-clad plague cultists, lumbering blight kings, and gibbering mutants who struck with talons, pseudopods, and stingers. Several of the rank creatures flung themselves at Neve, trying to overwhelm her.
"Praise Lord Angel God, foulest of filth-bringers,"
gurgled the largest of them, before Neve eviscerated him.
"All hail mighty Nurgle, bounteous lord of generosity!"
shrieked another, before she took his head from his shoulders. Neve had hacked down so many chaos worshippers that heaps of their corpses lay in her wake. Yet still they came on, and beneath their constant onslaught, the Sylvaneth fell one by one. Neve saw a death's head tumbling through the air towards her. It was struck by a blast of green energy, detonating prematurely and splattering its infectious contents across a band of mutants. She glanced gratefully at Catalia, who nodded and clashed her vambraces fiercely together. The tribe's girl was pale and sweating, clearly suffering the ill effects of the plague-ridden environment she fought through. Yet she kept fighting all the same, keeping pace with Neve as best she could. Another wave of enemies rose up from the slime-filled sluices that vanished into cavernous holes in the right-hand wall. Their rusted armour dripped with filth and their flesh sizzled, but they roared war cries and vaulted over the edges of the sluices straight into the fight.
"Wither, your right flank!"
roared Neve, gesturing with an axe.
"They are witnessed," replied the branch witch. "Ithari, Ulthir, drive them back!"
The branch wraith keened with bloodlust as she left her mistress's side, her talons spread wide and her thorned dreadlocks writhing. At her side strode one of Wither's tree-lord bodyguards, who hefted his huge sword and let out a basso war cry as he went. Maddened spite revenants followed them, fanged maws wide in murderous screams. The two forces clashed, Ithari's thorn magic peppering her enemies with projectiles, as Ulthir's huge sword smashed like a battering ram through the chaos ranks. Blight King's hewed bark flesh, spite revenants stabbed and lunged, dancing around their cumbersome foes as they hissed their hatred.
"They are slowing us," said Catalia, sending punch blasts of jade magic to shatter bones and pulp flesh.
"They are," said Neve. "We need to contrive a way to force passage, or they'll bottle us up here."
Wither fought her way to their side, sweeping enemies out of her path with vicious fury.
"We must push deeper, girl," she hissed. "The fragment is utterly deadly, but it must be triggered at the fortress's very heart. Only in that way will we purge all foul fleshlings from this place."
"All?" asked Neve.
"All of our foes,"
said Wither angrily. But Neve heard something else beneath her bluster. Wither had slipped, she thought, just a little.
"Wither, what exactly is the weapon going to do?"
she asked, parrying the incoming strike of a mace, then cutting its wielder in half with a scissoring blow from her axes.
"It will scour our enemies away from the undiluted magics of life," said Wither. "But not if we fall here, while flapping our jaws about its nature. You failed to reach Unhulgot once before, child. Will you fail me a second time?"
"Don't think me so easily manipulated, Wither," spat Neve. "Battle presses, but you and I are not done speaking of this."
Neve turned her full focus upon slaughtering the foe. Still, her mind worked furiously. How dangerous or unstable was the weapon Wither carried? Could her old mentor truly be trusted in her intentions? Before, Neve would have said perhaps. Now she wondered. She had caught the old branch witch in a lie and it needled her. Neve glanced at Catalia, fighting bravely despite all the horror and danger she had endured. Would she survive proximity to Wither's masterstroke?
"Sigmar, if you have guidance for your servant, now would be the hour," she muttered, sidestepping a spear thrust
and hacking down the weapon's wielder before spinning and striking, then dodging away again to leave several more foes toppling dead to the ground. Neve caught a sudden commotion at the northern entrance to the chamber, the very archway she was fighting to reach. The chaos worshippers were surging, clawing at one another, yells of panic rising above their battle chants, and cohesion collapsing as they scattered.
"Something's coming down that passage," said Neve.
and she thought of the prayer she had just offered up. The shadow hammers had been close on her trail before she entered Wither's woods. If the ether wings had stayed with her, kept her in sight during her confinement. Neve's hope surged as blood sprayed out of the archway. A Blight King corpse tumbled through the air to slam into his comrades. Several warriors turned and brandished their blades at the dark opening, while more scrambled over each other in their haste to get clear. Something moved in the shadows, and Neve began hacking her way towards the entrance with fresh vigour, keen to meet her comrades again. Her senses tingled. All her hope turned to ash. Wordlessly, she stepped between Catalia and the dark portal. A cacophony of horrible shrieks echoed from the archway before a tide of stitched and mutated flesh surged from its depths. Their wild eyes rolled. Cable-like sinews strained as they hauled vast bulks of muscle and flab into battle. Deformed talons ripped at stonework and bone, and slavering jaws gaped wide as Ungholgot's abominations stampeded. Battering ram limbs of bone swung, smashing chaos worshippers and Sylvaneth alike through the air. Tentacles lashed out from bloated sacks of flesh, and eyes, grabbing warriors and dragging them screaming into pulsating maws. The abominations smashed their way through the fight, some barely larger than Neve herself, others enormous monstrosities that trampled forwards on dozens of mismatched limbs. Neither Ungholgot's forces nor Wither's could stand against the creatures. Though several abominations fell to talons and blade strokes, more of them burst into the chamber by the moment. A tree lord vanished under the squirming bulk of a slug-like thing larger than a house, his blade puncturing it through and through, even as its hundreds of pseudopods gnawed him away, layer by layer. Wither's eyes burned blue, and she cast out a hand, screeching a jagged invocation. The nearest abomination, a tangle of limbs and torsos and stitch-puckered eyes, shuddered as spiked branches erupted through its flesh. Wicked wooden spears tore the monster apart, leaving its fleshy components dangling from a forest of jags like a bloodshrike's larder.
"I will slaughter every one of these revolting aberrations," snarled the branch witch.
"You will not," said Neve. "You slew a single beast among a vast stampede against which we cannot stand fast. There's no way forward here."
"They will fear the might of Dreadwood Glade," hissed Wither, gathering her magics for another attack.
Neve saw her falter as the full scale of the slaughter impressed itself upon her. Sylvaneth were dying on every side, and their enemies with them.
"Soon there will be nothing left breathing in here but Ungholgot's beasts," said Neve.
"There's another exit in the west wall. See it? I'm going to lead a break out that way. Be ready to use your magics to cover us."
"There are hundreds of foes between you and that door," said Wither.
"I've killed hundreds more."
"Wait, there is another way," said Catalia.
"Where?"
asked Neve in surprise.
"Low down, further back along the west wall. I saw them as we fought our way in, tunnels like burrows."
"You're sure, Cat?" asked Neve.
"When you spend your life as the prey as often as the hunter, you see bolt holes," said Catalia. "But the bigger Sylvaneth will not fit."
"We will have to leave some of our most powerful warriors behind, facing certain death."
"We will, but their sacrifice will mean victory," replied Wither. "They will gladly give their lives as a rearguard to keep the clan alive. We will return for their lamentiddy when these monsters are no more."
Neve narrowed her eyes at the branch witch. Just how many lives was Wither willing to sacrifice in the name of victory, she wondered. Would any of them survive Wither's vendetta, were she allowed to unleash her weapon? Neve knew she couldn't allow the question to go unanswered much longer, but now was not the moment to settle things.
"Cat, lead, I'll get us there," she said. "Wither, have your warriors follow."
With Catalia at her side, Neve hacked a bloody path across the embattled chamber. Sylvaneth and Chaos Worshippers and Raging Abominations clashed all around her, fighting with frantic fury and stumbling across a carpet of fresh corpses. All shape had vanished from the battle, leaving a meat grinder in which there could be only one victor. As she cut her way through a tendril-lashing abomination and vaulted over its shuddering corpse, Neve caught sight of the burrow tunnels Catalia had seen. They were puckered, like maggot holes several feet across that plunged into the wall at ground level. Yet they were a means out of this death trap, a way to continue her hunt.
"Move, move!"
yelled Neve, hacking, dodging and leaping as she fought her way towards escape. Dryads and revenants came behind her, talons lashing. The last few foes were smashed aside. The way stood open. Neve glanced back to see Wither's tree lords bracing themselves against the enemy tide. The Kurnoth hunters flanked them, blades and bows flickering as they joined the doomed rearguard action. Neve's eyes met those of Gyrthael for a moment, and he favoured her with a shockingly human smile. She saw the sadness and the courage there, and vowed that Unghulgot would not go unpunished for the deaths of such valiant warriors. Then she was plunging into the nearest maggot hole, Catalia close behind her, and squirming through filth and slime towards whatever lay at the tunnel's far end. Victory, she promised herself. No matter what it took, the tunnel would lead her to her first mark, and to victory. Chapter 14. Neve dragged herself from the tunnel and into the corridor beyond. She rolled up into a fighting crouch, axes ready, slime dripping from her armour. She listened hard, hearing nothing but the exertions of her comrades still scrambling through the tunnels and the dim clangour of battle. Her eyes narrowed as she realised that it came not just through the tunnels, but from somewhere off to the east as well. Before Neve could analyse the sounds further, Catalia scrambled out of the tunnel at her feet, retching. Neve was concerned at the sallow colour of the girl's skin, the red weals beginning to rise on her flesh. There was little to be done for it, though, not while they still fought through this plague-ridden place. When the fight was done, she promised herself her first priority would be to secure some kind of purification or healing for Cat, whether from the Sylvaneth or, if needs be, from Sigmaron itself. Wither emerged from the next tunnel over, and more Sylvaneth followed. Many of Clan Thyrgael also looked to be sickening in their own strange ways, but this hadn't dulled the determined hatred in their eyes.
"Will they follow?"
asked Catalia, coughing into her fist. "Perhaps, but it won't do them any good," said Neve. "They'll be forced to scramble through in single file and emerge in a defenceless crawl. Anything stupid enough to do that will be dead on our blades before they finish standing up."
"That would be wasted time," said Wither.
Checking that the last of the Sylvaneth had cleared the tunnels, she brandished her sickle stave and began a sinister chant that raised Neve's hackles. She rapped her blade against the wall in time to its cadence, and as she did so, whirl runes swirled into being and sank into the stonework. Neve's magically attuned senses saw the sorcery burrowing like roots through brick and mortar, bone and sinew. There came a sudden percussive thump as Wither tightened the magical net with a savage tug. The wall shuddered until the tunnels collapsed as one, an eruption of dust bursting from their maws. "Effective," said Neve, wafting stone dust away from her face.
"Expedient," replied Wither. "The enemy will waste no time finding another route to us, but we have this moment. The way to the heart of the fortress stands open, child. Will you lead us to it?"
Neve glanced around, assessing the surviving numbers of the Sylvaneth warband. "We've lost at least half of our strength," she said.
"Hard losses to bear, but willing sacrifices all," said Wither, her voice bitter.
"Wither, I don't believe we're alone here," said Neve. "Allow me to..." Her voice trailed off as she turned her head and pressed cheek and ear to the wall. She closed her eyes, shutting out the impatient stirrings of the Sylvaneth, the laboured thump of Catalia's heartbeat, the distant sounds of their rearguard meeting a terrible end. Neve listened to the vibrations through the fortress's ghastly flesh, the echoes of sounds already spent. She strained her supernatural senses to their limit. She had to be sure.
"Child, did you not hear what I said?"
demanded Wither, poking Neve hard in the ribs with her sickle stave.
"Now is the time we must strike. Will you not lead the way? Will you not do your duty?"
Neve snapped out a hand and grabbed the end of Wither's stave, pushing it gently but firmly away from her. She opened her eyes and turned, a fierce smile on her face. "We needn't fight alone, Wither. I hear my comrades. I couldn't mistake those battle cries, even if I were lost in a howling hurricane." Wither stared silently at her for long moments, until Neve's senses of triumph faltered. "There's a mighty force of reinforcements fighting less than a mile to our east. If we link up with them quickly..."
"If we can reach your comrades, if it is really them, if they will even aid us," crooned the branch witch. "No, child, that would be foolishness. We press on for the heart of the fortress, and we invoke the power of the weapon. Once we do that, all else will cease to matter."
"You are so determined to unleash this weapon. Why won't you tell me what exactly it's going to do?"
"I have told you, child, and you are wasting precious time with your questions."
Neve planted her feet and stared hard at the branch witch, reading every tick and twitch of her body. "Wither, are any of us going to survive this weapon's blast?" asked Neve. "Are you willing to throw away the lives of your clan for vengeance?"
"I would not unleash a weapon upon my own folk," hissed Wither.
"But you would use it upon mine, wouldn't you?" asked Neve, her suspicions confirmed. Everything about Wither's voice and posture bespoke defensive hostility. "Whatever this device does, non-Sylvaneth will not survive it, will they?" Catalia was staring at Neve with growing horror, and the fear in her eyes was enough to hurt Neve's heart.
"It should not matter," screeched Wither. "What care have you? Who can die and be reforged until the end of time? Or your comrades, these intruding stormcasts, would they not gladly give their lives to see the end of Unghulgot and all he has wrought? You see how terrible his armies are, his plague weapons and his allies. Such a force cannot be unleashed upon the Jade Kingdoms."
"We can be reborn, but Catalia cannot," said Neve. Catalia tried to stand a little taller, despite her ailments.
"If my death is worthy, then Sigmar will..."
"Do not finish that thought, not now," said Neve, her voice as hard as Sigmarite.
"One insignificant being, and a superstitious savage at that," spat Wither, voice dripping contempt. "You insisted on bringing her. You led her to her death despite my protestations. Now your facile attachment to her shames you, girl. You are no lesser weapon than that which I carry, and I will wield you just as I wield it."
Neve felt her anger flare at Wither's words. "I'm more than just a weapon," she spat, "and my first duty is to the peoples that Sigmar swore to save. I won't fail those who have already been abandoned once before."
"Then instead, you will abandon your first duty? Relinquish your first hunt?" asked Wither, quivering with anger. "You will cast aside the debt you owe, spit upon all that we have given you, and turn your back upon your clan for the sake of a single human life."
Neve placed a hand firmly upon Catalia's shoulder, felt the tribe's girl shaking, with fear or illness she couldn't tell. "I will save Catalia as I've sworn to do," said Neve. "I won't compromise myself for the sake of victory. If we lower ourselves to the level of the Chaos Despots, who have ravaged these lands, if we lose sight of the value of every single individual life, then we become no better than Unghulgot and his ilk. Come with me, link your forces to the Shadowhammers, I'll dispatch two of my finest to escort Catalia to safety, and then I swear I will fight at your side against any odds. Let us try to find and defeat Unghulgot through conventional means first. Then, if defeat looks certain, the Shadowhammers will gladly face death and reforging to ensure your clan survives and Unghulgot is destroyed. Neve kept her eyes locked with Withers as she spoke, trying to inject as much rationality and passion into her voice as she could, trying to reach the Branch Witch. For all Withers' manipulations, Neve still felt a strange bond of loyalty to the one who had saved her, raised her, helped her to become a huntress. Try as she might, Neve could not willingly sever that bond.
"Ungrateful," snarled Wither. "I should strike you down, child."
Neve shifted into a defensive stance, eyeing the masked Sylvaneth as they too readied themselves to pounce upon the command of their mistress. Yet Wither shook her head, and Neve realized that whatever infuriating bond she felt to the Branch Witch must be reciprocal.
"Go then, flee with your little savage," said Wither, shoulders slumping. "It will not be forgotten that you turned your back upon us on this day. But I will not slay you for it. You must fight your battle, and I must fight mine, even without your aid."
"If you attempted to execute me, Wither, it would be the last battle you ever fought," said Neve sternly. "Do not make an enemy of me. It would not be wise." Wither gave a snarl of disgust.
"Run swiftly, Neve of the Black Talons. I will not wait to invoke this weapon's power, and any still within the fortress when I do will surely feel its touch."
Neve slung one axe, then reached out and took Catalia by the wrist. "Come on, Cat. We need to move. I'll get you to my comrades, and we'll get you clear." Catalia cast fearful looks at the forest spirits looming on all sides, and allowed Neve to pull her away down the corridor. They broke into a run, Neve pulling Catalia along as quickly as she dared. Cat's feet flew as she struggled to keep up, her breath quickly becoming ragged, but Neve didn't dare slow. Her last sight of Wither had convinced her of one thing. The Branch Witch would not wait to trigger her weapon.